The West Live.
The West Live
with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Now, speaking of borders, the news that WA's hard border with the rest of Australia, with the exception of Victoria and New South Wales, could come down today, might have come as a surprise rather than a drastic backflip from the McGowan government. After months of a hard border and strict rules of who can get in and out of WA, how would quarantine-free travel work? And how could the safety of West Australians be ensured? I'm really keen to know what you think. Drop us a line at thewestlive@wanews.com.au. Joining me now is Opposition Leader Lisa Harvey. Lisa, thank you so very much for your time. The front page of the paper today, open season. You've been calling for a change on borders for a couple of months. What's your reaction to this?
Oh, good morning, Jenna, and good morning to your listeners. I have been calling for a more compassionate approach, especially to our families that have been separated for such a long period of time. So if I would welcome, I mean, obviously the decision hasn't yet been made,
of course.
But I would welcome any decision that would help families reunite in time for Christmas, as long as there's a safe way for that to occur.
What do you make of the, I guess, the preview that we've sort of seen today, where things are, the story is sort of saying that people will come in, there'll be no, there may be no testing and there may be no quarantine, there'll just be contact tracing and temperature checks at the airport. Do you think, with the advice that you've received, do you think that that's the right way forward?
Well, the problem for me with that, Jenna, is that we haven't had the full health advice published, and I've been calling for that to be published for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have, you know, my main concern at this point in time is trying to find a way to relieve the mental health crisis that many of our families are currently experiencing.
Yeah.
You know, I've been contacted by FIFO families who've been separated from the, children separated from their dads for 7 months.
Yeah.
You know, we should never have a situation where dads can't hold their kids for periods of 7 months.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm really hoping that there'll be a way out of this and that the Premier will show us a roadmap out of this. We've been calling for that for quite some time.
Mm.
I also think, you know, it's been a very confusing month with respect to the borders, that we had the Chief Health Officer come before a parliamentary inquiry saying that as much as many months ago, he had made a recommendation for a travel bubble and for opening up the borders with other states.
Mm.
And, of course, the day after that, the Premier said he was afraid to do that because of mass deaths that might occur as a result of it. So I think it's been a very confusing month for people, and hopefully out of this meeting today, we'll get some clarity about around what might happen for our families at Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're so right with the fact that it has been very confusing. And I myself sort of caught myself last night seeing that story and going, oh, but if it's going to be safe and we're not going to test, and I'm someone that this hasn't impacted me at all, but you must be hearing from a lot of people that are maybe immunocompromised or, like you say, have families that are outside of living interstate and things like that. What would you like to see out of this press conference or this meeting today? What are some of the things that you think that the West Australian community deserves?
Well, what I've been calling for quite some time is for an expansion of the exemption, the existing exemption permits that are in place, to allow for FIFO families to have some relaxed conditions so that on their swing shifts they can actually be with their families instead of remaining on site.
Mm-hmm.
I've been calling for some exemptions, particularly around mental health.
Yeah.
You know, I had a grandma contact me in Tasmania. She's trying to get here to Perth to support her daughter, whose baby was born prematurely 2 months ago. So, you know, the daughter's on her own, the husband's FIFO. This grandma has been refused 5 times an entry permit to come into WA. Tasmania has no cases. You know, so, you know, the Premier needs to start showing some compassion towards these people, and hopefully out of the meeting today we'll have a safe, compassionate approach to allow families who are experiencing these extreme mental health stresses to come together.
What's your take on the issue that if this all does go ahead and there will be no testing of people coming in from interstate, do you agree with that? Should visitors be tested?
Well, I would like to see an expansion of testing and to have testing available to more people. You know, for, as an example, Jenna, I see hundreds of people every week. You know, I would like to be able to get tested once a week. I'd be happy to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, just so that I know that I don't have I'm not exposing people to anything harmful, but you know, that's not available. The testing is still quite regulated. We don't test as much as other states. And if we're going to open the border, I would need to see the testing regimen ramped up significantly so that we can track COVID immediately if it comes here. And understand what how we need to react to keep people safe.
Yeah. If the roles were reversed and you were chairing a state disaster council in times of COVID, how would you respond to COVID? How would you, you've called for more transparency in the health advice. Would that be one of the main prongs of your attack to defeating this virus?
Definitely. I certainly wouldn't be using the language of fear because, you know, so many seniors are very, very fearful at the moment around any kind of changes to the border. So what we want to be careful of is that we're not swapping one family's mental health anxiety and transplanting it into someone else's.
Of course.
So, you know, I wouldn't use the language of fear. I'd be bringing the community with me. Mm-hmm. I would be open and transparent with all of the health advice. You know, we're only getting cherry-picked segments of health advice that suit the Premier's argument. So I would bring all of that advice and make it public. I would make the Chief Health Officer available at all times to the public. I'd be making decisions in the best interests of all Western Australians based on the health advice, you know, like the Premier, but I'd be publishing it, making sure that people understood it and you know, acting in the best interest of all West Aussies. You know, I've got older parents who've got asthma. I've got a mother-in-law who's had pneumonia several times. You know, I've got a family member who's a transplant recipient. So, you know, I want to make sure that when we take the next steps that they can be safe and that a clear signal can be sent to them if somebody brings COVID in. And the only way we'll know about that is if we test in the community.
Do you think that it's a good idea that there should be some more restrictions into life in WA when we do open the border to protect those type of people who will be feeling fearful?
I think so. And I think education is the key. We do need, if we are going to open the borders, I think that we do need to reset the protocols that need to be in place to keep people safe and slow down transmission. And I think, Jenna, you would have noticed that there's very little social distancing in WA. People aren't using the hand sanitizer religiously anymore, and people are mixing in crowds and not observing, you know, the practices that we'll need to observe to keep ourselves safe from COVID. So I do think that we need some an education piece for the community to keep reminding people the virus is out there. You know, we're still at risk. It's likely it's going to come here at some point because there's no cure and there's no vaccine. So, you know, we've got to be strict and stringent with the way that we manage ourselves. So that's all part of the health advice, Jenna. You know, keeping people informed, publishing all of the health advice, having us all understand, you know, exactly what we need to do to stay safe.
Indeed. Now, I guess we've all had our blinkers on, probably more so in the media, of just focusing on borders and COVID and things like that. There is an election coming up, which you're very much aware. What have you been up to? What are you up to for the next couple of days? Obviously, you're focusing on COVID, but what are you doing out in the community?
I have had the most amazing week, Jenna. I spent Monday campaigning with my candidate in Joondalup, Sheldon Ingham.
Lovely.
Tuesday with my candidate in Riverton, Anthony Spagnolo. Mm-hmm. Wednesday with my candidate in Kalamunda, Liam Stoltari. Mm-hmm. And today I'm in Kingsley with our candidate there, Scott Edwards. So
lovely.
We'll be announcing today a $12.4 million upgrade of Greenwood College.
Lovely.
Some additional funding announcements to do with some primary schools in the electorate of Kingsley that need some additional support for maintenance and et cetera. And Tuesday with Anthony Spagnolo, I announced $25 million Stage 1 funding rebuild for Rossmoyne Senior High School should we get elected. So
fantastic.
It's all very exciting. We're very much campaigning in the community and we're getting a really good reception. Our candidates are working so hard, Jenna.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to work with them.
It's really interesting because when you look at, when you see these candidates sort of pop up on social media thanks to algorithms and stuff like that, they seem really young and vibrant and energetic. What would be some of the words that you would to describe your potential colleagues moving forward?
Oh, look, exactly that. We've got young people, we've got some young women coming in, they're all enthusiastic, very energetic, they've all got really great fresh ideas, and importantly, Jenna, they have a very broad range of skill sets that will really bring some strength and capacity to the State Parliamentary Liberal Party.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Very excited about the skill sets we've got coming in, but also, you know, the personalities, they're all lovely people, and that most of them, in fact all of them, live locally in the electorates they're representing, mm-hmm. and they're all just so passionate about their patch. So it's very, very exciting to be with them, and I'm really looking forward to seeing many of them be successful in March.
Indeed, indeed. Now, I look forward to your little weekend message on Twitter every Saturday morning. What are you and Andrew up to?
Well, this weekend it's actually very busy for us.
Yes.
Andrew's got patrol on Sunday down at the surf club, so mm-hmm. he'll be busy. I've got some multicultural events. I've got a Diwali festival.
Oh, lovely.
I've got a lot on this weekend, actually. I couldn't even begin to tell you. I haven't looked at tomorrow yet.
Well, you're
But I really do look forward to being in the community and sharing in these multicultural festivals with the various different groups in our community. It's just lovely to see the diversity we have in Western Australia now.
Absolutely. Well, you're a very busy lady, Opposition Leader Lisa Harvey. We thank you so very much for joining us on The West Live. Have a lovely weekend. We'll chat to you again soon.
Thank you, Jenna. Thanks so much. Bye.